Okay, can you hear me? Up the back. Hello. Hello. Can you hear me? No? Wow. Can you hear me up the back? Not very well. Oh. Let's try another one. Can you hear me without the microphone? No. Okay. How about now? Is that, can you hear me? Okay, not much I can do. I'll try to speak louder. But it would help if you were quiet first. Okay? It looks like I have to hold this up. What? Oh. Is that better? Is that better?
It's a little better.
Little better. Well, they both have the problem. What about this one? Let's try this one. No, no. Well, it's meant to be working. Do you mind going and asking the IT guy, tell him there's a problem with the sound? Thank you. Do you know where he sits? Just in the little box with a window. Because I need to fix this because I had a problem. Some of you were saying, well, one of you said in the feedback to me that, remember last week or some weeks ago, I asked for some feedback in Moodle. I said, give me your opinion, your feedback. And one of you said, well, on the video, they can't hear very well. So we have to fix this problem. They can't hear me very well with both of these, so maybe there's a more volume here with this one. How's that? Is that better? I'm mainly asking you guys up the back. Is that better? Can you hear me?
Oh, yes.
Ah. So you can hear me anyway, yeah. I'll put it on here and see if that's... Okay, is that all right? Yeah, okay, thank you very much. There's only one screen too, but it's okay. It's enough. Okay, so first off, let's start with saying that... Put up your hand if you had some problems with Moodle in this course. Did you have a problem with Moodle? I had some problems, so yeah. So a few of us had problems accessing Moodle. Even today I had a problem. I think you just have to keep trying and it should eventually work, right? Okay. So today we're going to go through some feedback from you in Moodle. Secondly, the main topic today is corporate social responsibility and community relations. The third thing is we'll talk about communication measurement and a little bit about that at the end. All right, and then next week we'll talk more about legal issues and ethical issues with communication. I think next week is the second last session. So let's get started. Oh, by the way, here's an announcement. You need to register for the exam. It doesn't just happen. So make sure you register for the exam in English or Finnish. Don't just turn up. You need to register so they see your name. Okay? Follow the instructions. So if you're in YTTP 1150, you would be doing a Finnish language, the exam in Finnish. YTTP 2150, if you're in that, then you would be doing the exam in English. We are updating the dictionary from English to Finnish, you know, the terms that are in Moodle. There's a dictionary of key terms in English and Finnish. We're updating that, and I'll try and post it this week in Moodle so you can keep up to date with the latest concepts and terms we are talking about. I'll skip that. So one thing about the feedback was, yes, it's difficult to hear me, so I will try to fix the volume and speak more clearly. So today's topic is really based on chapter 13 of the textbook, depending on what version of the textbook you have. I'll try and combine CSR and community relations together. They relate together. You probably learn a bit about CSR in other courses, but we're focusing on CSR and communication. All right, we're agreed, we're ready. I'm going to present a scenario to you. And then I want you to put yourself into that scenario as the communications manager. So the scenario is this. You have inherited a large global corporation. Your father gave it to you and handed it over to you. He built it along with his grandfather, with your grandfather. It's a company that drills and sells oil to companies in 25 countries. Those companies use your oil to make petrol for cars, buses, motorbikes, everything really. So your oil is in demand. The company makes 110 million euro every year. Of course, there have been some challenges. You can see some of the images there. One in particular. Ships carrying your oil have had two large oil leaks recently, before you inherited the company, and it damaged sea life, bird life, the livelihood of fishermen who need to fish. This is what you are taking over. Because oil drilling and selling is not an environmentally friendly or safe business. So, this is what you will do. You're the new chairman. What will you say now? Because this is a communication course, what would you say to environmentalists, to activists? What will you say to fishermen? What will you say to other stakeholders who care about the environment that your company is damaging? If you were in the shoes of the chairman, if that was you, what would you say to them? And secondly, what would you say to your employees, thousands of them across the different branches in different countries that are responsible to you? You're their boss. What would you say to their families too about this? Well, it's a serious problem. It's a very well-known company. Lots of people rely on you as the new chairman. What will you do and what will you say to them? Finally, what will you say to your father and your grandfather who built the company and employed lots of people, did good by employing people, making sure cars can run on their fuel? What would you say to them? I want you just to think about that. It's a challenging situation. And this challenge I'm presenting to you is the challenge of CSR communication. Mm-hmm. And it's a challenge that is easy to judge. We can look at companies like oil companies and say, hey, you need to stop doing that. But if you were in charge of these oil companies, what would you do? And what would you say to all these people who rely on this company? So corporate social responsibility, we'll start with that. If I could summarize it very basically, I would say that corporate social responsibility is about a large company, mostly, that tries to do good in society. The oil company tries to do good, but sometimes it can damage society. So it's about trying to doing the right thing for all the stakeholders, employees, customers, and so on, while doing other things like building the company. So if you are the chairman of this oil company, you can't just stop producing oil and selling oil. It still needs to run and operate. This is a business school. You're a student in a course in a business school. So we need to sometimes take the business perspective. So it's about doing the right thing for all stakeholders while building the company, but also while keeping people employed. Thousands of people need an income. Where else can they go if the business closed? Thirdly, while solving these social problems, while stop trying to prevent oil leaks in the future and saving the planet. As the new chairperson of this company, you get to save the planet. All right. So it comes back also to this idea of stakeholders. In this challenge that I gave you as the new chairperson, I asked you, what would you say to these different stakeholders? Sometimes there are stakeholders, and especially today, who have become very demanding, very active and powerful, much more than they used to. And if you were the boss of a large company like this, you would have to face this fact. Because what they say and do will affect the reputation of the company. It will affect employees' jobs. But more and more, these stakeholders, and I've got some images there of stakeholders who are becoming much more powerful today because they have a loud voice through social media. These stakeholders are emotionally engaged, especially around issues like the environment. And they're empowered. They now have power. Empowered means they have gained or been given power through social media. Give them a hashtag and they can be much more empowered in social media. They can be much more targeted with their communication in social media. They have power. And some examples of hashtags there that have stood out recently. Some girls around the world who are engaging with issues through social media that affect companies. So this is the topic of corporate social responsibility. Companies trying to do good for all stakeholders, doing the right thing, but being mindful or understanding that stakeholders these days can be very emotionally engaged and say things and make judgments in public through social media. Here's another example of a corporate social responsibility issue. Images like this go viral. I guess what this Kirsty Soul is trying to say is that, well, here's a statement there. For an industry that is estimated to be worth nearly $300 billion, there should be no excuse for the abuse of workers at any level. This image is meant to show some sort of abuse of workers. They're sleeping on all these clothing, this material. The title there is The Business of Fashion. So it's related to fashion companies. What are fashion companies doing to affect workers sleeping like that? And so the fashion world, companies that are in the fashion world, need to address issues like this, because these stakeholders are demanding that they step up and do the right thing. I think I've given you this statement before. It's really just to challenge you to think about the relationship between stakeholders and corporations and the power that stakeholders have. The future of a company depends on how people, and we're calling them stakeholders in this course, how they judge or they make judgments, and then they communicate those judgments with each other. So you've seen those previous examples. They're communicating with each other, saying how angry they are about this issue that companies in the fashion industry are involved in. So they communicate these judgments with each other. They do it with third-party influencers who have a lot of influence, like the news media, like bloggers, like celebrities. And sometimes they will communicate their anger, their frustration, their emotional engagement with companies themselves. Companies are responsible to do the right thing, and stakeholders are demanding that, making judgments about it. So these judgments that are communicated affect the company. So I'm saying this, remember, I put you in that position. You were the new chairperson of this global oil company. And these stakeholders are making and communicating judgments about your company because it spilled oil that affected fish and birds and so on. And it affects the reputation of your company that you've inherited, which means that it would affect profits, and you might have to then get rid of staff, employees, because the reputation has been damaged. We're selling less oil now. We can't afford to keep going the way we're going. We have to let staff go. So there are consequences. This is a definition you would be very familiar with now. We've talked about this before. This is what stakeholders are. They are individuals or groups of individuals who affect the company or are affected by it. So questions I've tried to get you to reflect on are these. How can stakeholders' judgments, positive or negative, emotional mostly, how can those judgments affect the company's profits? And how can a company manage how those stakeholders judge it? If they're making these judgments in social media, can a company manage that? And that's what corporate communication is all about. And that's what CSR communication is largely about. Trying to manage the damage of judgments being communicated. So, this image shows this tension. If you are the CSR, if you are the chairman of this global company, you're young, but you really quickly realize that you need to manage this image of the devil and the angel, the tension between making money and doing good. So you'll remember in lecture two, we talked about this. Organizational objectives really can be determined in two ways. They can be objectives to make money and a profit, to build the company. And they can be objectives that help society and do good. Two different ones. And you as the new chairman of this oil company need to manage objectives, either one or the other, or both. Now, let's get into CSR a little bit more. This idea of CSR has been around for a long time. But two of the gurus, by gurus I mean the people who came up with new ideas about CSR, These are their faces on the screen. What did they have to say? Well, these two people were critical of CSR. They thought, no, business is not set up primarily to do good in society. And lots of people agree with them. So in 1958, this American economist and professor, Theodore Levitt, he wrote a book called The Dangers of Social Responsibility. The dangers. One would say the dangers of doing good. He said business has only two responsibilities. One is to engage in face-to-face civility. By that I mean to engage in being formally polite, courteous to stakeholders through what you say and do. So that's one responsibility. And the second one, he said, was it's to seek material gain. In other words, it's to make money. That's what businesses are there for. So he came up with these two responsibilities, really. He said, and lots of people have agreed with that and moved on and developed theory around that. So this is what he said that has caused actually a lot of challenge from people. They've put up their hand and pushed back on that. They said, long-term profit is the one dominant objective of business. But then Friedman, around the same time, an economist, became famous for many things, including his ideas about CSR. And he argued that social issues, we gave some examples before of social issues, like you saw the image of workers sleeping in poor conditions. He argued that social issues like that are not the concern of business people. Businesses aren't set up to fix those problems. And he said that these problems should be resolved by the unrestricted workings of the free market economic system. So he said it'll just work itself out through the capitalist economic system. It'll work out. So what is CSR? Corporate social responsibility. What is it? I need to give you some definitions because there's an exam coming up and this might be in the exam. So it's the continuing commitment by business to contribute to economic development. Everyone agreed with that first statement. But it's the continuing commitment by business to contribute to economic development while also improving quality of life of the workforce and their families. So doing both. And quality of life of the community and society at large. I said today this topic is about corporate social responsibility and community relations. And you might wonder what's the link between those two. They're separate, but similar. And here's the link. That CSR is about the quality of life of people who are in a community and society at large. So you are the chairperson of this global oil company, and you are responsible for doing good globally in society. But you're also responsible for doing good in the local communities where you have businesses. So community relations, this other topic for today, is about local community relationships. And we're going to get onto that in a minute. So the balancing of doing good, giving people quality of life, versus making money. That's the tension you would face if you were the boss of a large company. So I'm going to ask you to reflect on this. Which stakeholders would prefer the first one? And I've listed some stakeholders there, investors or shareholders, customers, news media, activists. So which of those stakeholders would prefer quality of life and doing good? And which stakeholders would prefer number two, making money? If stakeholders had a preference, what would they prefer? Which stakeholders would prefer to make money first out of the ones I've listed there? Tell me. Stakeholders have preferences. What do you guys think?
Investors probably would be interested in making money.
Yeah. So I'm going to repeat that because people can't hear up the back. That's feedback I've been getting from you. So investors would probably want to, what did you say, get their money back from what they invested in. And to get their money back, they want the business to make money so they can get their money back. So if you set up business and you have investors, the business cannot survive without those investors. So you need to give back in some way. You need to help those investors. Otherwise, you'd have to shut the business down, employees go, no income. So that's an obvious answer to the first one. And then what stakeholders would prefer to do good in society? What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I was going to say, depends on what the activists are there for. But generally, activists are anti-business. Some you might not agree with that. Generally, activists are pro-quality of life for people and animals and the environment. But the question is, can a company do both? Yes, a company can do both. So if you're the new chairperson of this oil company, you hopefully would be able to sleep well at night doing both. That's the challenge today. So more about CSR. This guy, Carol, another guru, an expert, founder of the idea of CSR, came up with this pyramid, and I don't know if you can see, you should be able to see it up the back. He said this. It's very basic. Hopefully it's understandable. In a pyramid, there's always a base. And you build on the foundation, and you move up to the top. The base, the most important part of a business, is economic responsibility to make money. That defines a business. But on top of that, the next pillar, the next layer, is legal responsibilities. A company is responsible to obey the law that government sets for business. The third thing is being ethical. That's not quite as important, I guess. What the pyramid is saying is that there's levels of importance or priority. So being ethical, that layer is to do with CSR, doing good. And then finally up the top, a little peek up the top, is this idea of a business giving, above all of that, giving to society, giving to the local community, being a good corporate citizen. Just on the top a little bit. This is Carol's CSR pyramid. I don't know whether you agree with all of that, but generally, people have agreed with this. Also, in this chapter that Cornelison has written, that you've read, is this idea of the triple bottom line. People, planet, profits. A business is meant to try to achieve all three, to look after all three. Look after the planet, people, internal, the employees, as well as customers and so on. And making money, all three. And if you could manage that, you're doing well. And CSR somehow fits in the middle, looking after the planet, profits, and people. It needs to be mindful of all three. It fits in the middle. And if you do all that, you manage it well, equal size circles, equal priorities, company value, in theory, company value should increase. So I mentioned corporate citizenship what is that corporate citizenship? It's in the chapter. We understand the idea of citizens and citizenship. A citizen has responsibilities in a country. Companies have a responsibility to take on this idea of being responsible in society, corporate citizenship. It's individuals and organizations have duties, rights, and responsibilities as members of local community and society to give back to society. So corporate citizenship is this idea that a company needs to understand it needs to give back to society, not just make money, but to give back. And a company's impact on the community and society broadly is measured by the way in which it manages this tension, the relationships between economic, social, and environmental, as well as relationships with stakeholders, lots and lots of them, according to the World Economic Forum. So this is this idea of corporate citizenship. So if you were ever to end up running a business, these are things you would have to think about. So now I've talked about CSR, and you might have understood this concept in other classes, but this is a communication course, Introduction to Corporate Communication. So I need to talk about how do we communicate CSR in this oil company. It might say, okay, we need to change the way we ship oil to make it safer. But that's not good enough, because activists need to be aware that you are trying to do something good. And so we tell companies, communicate. Don't just do good, but communicate it. So with CSR, more and more governments are saying to companies and pointing the finger and saying, we're watching you. So the Finnish government is pointing the finger at businesses in Finland saying, we're watching you. Do good in your local community and in society. They're also saying, second thing, now tell us that you are doing good in society. So we talk now about reports. Governments around the world have made it a legal responsibility for companies to produce reports about doing good. If companies are doing good, Finnair, if you look at all the websites of large corporations, including Finnair, you will find CSR reports. And Finnair does good by reducing global emissions and so on. It's doing good. It's not just making money. It's actually giving back to society and helping the planet. And it produces reports. I'm going to give you, actually, now I'll get to that in a minute. So CSR reports. Okay. In Moodle, and you're welcome to go and look now, I've put there four CSR reports as PDFs of companies. And usually these reports are huge. Lovely design, lots of color. Lots of stories of how they're doing good. If you have a laptop or a device, have a look now. So in Moodle, it's under Lecture 6. And there's a folder there called Company CSR Reports Examples. I want you to have a look at those. And I want you to think about, and tell me, but think about these things I've got on the screen here. How large are they? I mean, what, how many number of pages? So you get an idea of it's a lot of work to put into this. Second thing, look at the images and the colors and compare, if you like, across one or two different reports. Identify the images and colors that try to show CSR. I'll give you an example, a hint. Green is a very CSR color. But there are images of animals, insects, that try to instantly get us to understand that this is to do with doing good in society. So look for those in these reports. Third thing is, what are the first few pages about? Because I found some reports, don't talk about the environment in the first few pages. They talk about the company and how we are a great company making money. Others start straight off with the first few pages. We're doing good in society in this way. Also look for, and I'm interested in this, how visually appealing, how attractive is the design? There's a reason I'm asking that. Number five is it easy to understand? And then finally, what did I ask? Who would read it? So when you're reading these, think about who is it aimed at? What stakeholders is it aimed at? So I can see some of you looking at these. And if you can't now, look at them later, because it's really interesting how companies produce these reports. There's a lot of work goes into it. In fact, each one of those reports, I would say maybe 20, 30 people in that company were involved in producing those reports. I'm just giving an approximate number. But I've been involved in producing these sorts of reports. It's a lot of work, and a lot of thought goes into it. A lot of time goes into it. There are some people in companies whose one job is to produce these reports 365 days a year. Their job, whole time in that company, is to produce CSR reports. And the reason is that companies don't just do good, but they need to communicate that they're doing good. And those reports are the communication of corporate social responsibility. And they are the main communication of corporate social responsibility. So, hopefully you've got an idea of the size of these reports, how many pages. I said green is a color that's traditionally associated with doing good, especially environmental good. I think from memory, I've got the list there. There's Tesla, they have a report in there, which is a very unexpectedly lovely design, very professional, contemporary. Then there's Subaru. Then there's Caesars Entertainment, which is gambling. Gambling entertainment. And finally, American Express. Like Visa. It's a credit card company, American Express. Four, I found. So go over those in your own time, reflect on them, because that's how CSR is communicated mostly. Lots of effort goes into those. All right. So now we're moving on to communication of CSR. And remember, I had said to you that corporate communication, one definition was that it's the management of the communication between the company and its publics. And they manage it in CSR by producing these reports. But then who reads these reports? You saw them. Huge. Boring, a lot of them. I wonder if activists read them. I think the management of activist groups probably would read them. Maybe not every page. Investors probably would read them. So there are stakeholders who would read them, but it's not read by the general public normally. So how it's all about corporate communications, about how companies manage communication about their CSR. Two things about their CSR policies. What's policies? And CSR actions. Policies are like plans to do, and actions are the implementation of those policies. So it's how companies manage the communication of the ideas or the policies, the plans, and the actual actions and how they implemented them. to different stakeholders through channels. So reports are one medium, and I've listed their website. So Tesla on their website would have more information about their corporate social responsibility policies and actions. In fact, it's easy to find these reports. I found four very quickly. You just look at their websites, and it's fairly easy to find when you dig into them. Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, Pinterest, and so on. Lots and lots of social media platforms should be used by these companies to say, hey, look at us, we're doing good. So if you were the CSR manager, and most companies today have a CSR manager, a team even, responsible for CSR, if you're looking for a good job that feels good, that's a good job for you, then you would be thinking of, okay, how do we go on social, how do we go on Facebook and tell everyone that we're doing good? These reports are so huge and boring. How do we package that for social media? Because social media is designed for short, punchy text and images, right? So you'll also find these days, not just reports, but videos, short films, professionally designed by and created, produced by visually competent professionals, usually a marketing agency, an advertising agency, or a corporate communication agency, would produce videos for social media so that CSR managers can show people in social media in a visual way of how they're doing good in society. News media are always interested in this, and other influencers, activists, for instance, who can be influencers. So, I'm going to test you in Kahoot in a minute. And I'm going to test you on a few things, and this is one of them. So remember this, three things that have to do with CSR communication. I would call them three models of CSR communication. Hopefully they make sense to you. So the first one is, it's about CSR communication. What's it about? It's about, firstly, communicate with or tell people about the corporation's CSR actions. That's what we've been talking about. And I've got there that that's one-way communication. You are giving information, not asking for information back. Second way, second model, is if you were the CSR communications manager, you would be inviting stakeholders who are interested in your CSR. You would be inviting them to communicate with you and the corporation to collaborate, to build, to help build, to help the company do good. So the second model is you asking, representing the company, asking stakeholders like activists, environmentalists, and so on, to help you help the company do better at doing good. Give us ideas. So you'll be saying to them, give us ideas. Let's meet, let's facilitate a working group, let's collaborate, let's work together. That's the second model. The third model is inviting stakeholders to communicate with many others. So sharing with others about what the company's doing. Both of those two are two-way communication. So three kind of models of CSR communication. The first one, we all understand. Everyone does that, but not everyone does the second and third one. Now some trends I find interesting. Because CSR and CSR communication has been changing, we demand different things every year from companies. We change the way we expect companies to do good. We change the way we think they should be communicating about it. So that's why I'm talking about trends. So, obviously, companies more and more now are saying, well, we need to do something about climate change. It's been hard for them, but more and more they are. Second one, Companies used to find it hard to get involved in social issues because some social issues are controversial, especially when it comes to even gender or race. So, companies have decided not to say anything about that for many years because they didn't want to offend some stakeholders while making other stakeholders happy. But more and more saying, no, enough of that, we need to say something about social justice. So that's the second trend. Social justice is no longer off limits for companies. So companies and their brands are voicing support for, an example, for Love Wins, which will offend some stakeholders, but others will be happy. Third trend is that more companies are collaborating. So that was one of the models, of the three models I was showing you. More and more companies are collaborating to do good. They realize that one company on its own can do this much, but three, four, five companies doing good can do a lot more. And so there are some examples here. I won't look at it now, but you're welcome to go to this link, these slides are in Moodle, and see how are companies, lots of them, coming together to do good. And there's another one there. So these large global companies are collaborating to address inequality through what they call this entity, this initiative, 100,000 Opportunities Initiative. So what is it? It's a coalition of employers committed to hiring young Americans who are out of school and not currently working, giving them opportunities to get into work. Companies getting together doing good. So that's their three trends. Now I'm going to show you now an example of a video, and some of my students from this morning, you've already seen this. So I'll show you now. Let's see if this works, actually. I shouldn't promise you it'll work. Let's see if this works. So, Chipotle Mexican Grill. That's their story. Oops. Why did I show you that? It's because in a roundabout way, this restaurant chain is saying something about CSR. It's basically saying through the medium of storytelling, visual storytelling, it's saying that they are trying to do good in society by bringing back healthy eating, healthy food production. They serve healthier food and more sustainable food. So in a roundabout way, I think you got the point in 3.5 minutes that Chipotle is a good company doing good. Maybe you were thinking, I better support them. Well, that's what they were hoping you were thinking. So I better keep moving on now to community relations. Community relations. It's really about a company doing good in a local community, building good relationships in the local community. So I'm giving you three examples here. I know in Tampere they've been building this new tram line. So one example is a local government plans to build a new tram line through a community. Might be through a certain area of a city where there's local communities. Another example is a bank. And more banks are closing their branches in different communities. They're saying, well, we can't afford to have a branch there anymore. Less people are going physically to get money out and deposit money. They're doing it all online now. Why do we need a branch? The third example is a company plans to build a new factory in a local community. And sometimes these factories smell, the products smell, or they're noisy. And so sometimes people in the community say, no, we don't want that factory here. Or people saying, no, we don't want that tram line coming through our neighborhood. Or they say, hey, the bank trying to get rid of its branch in our community? No, you're not a very good company if you do that. So there's some examples of what community relations is all about. Companies that have an engagement in a local community have to manage the relationships that might affect their reputation. And so there are, all around the world, community relations managers in companies. Professionals who have gone through uni like you, through a school of business, studied communication, and then gone on to manage relationships in local communities. So in Australia, I was involved with these people who mainly work for governments, local governments, when they build roads through a community or a train track or a tram line, when they build stadiums, communities are affected. And so community relations managers need to manage that relationship. So here's an image. So let's say you work for the communications team in the local government that is building tram lines in this local community. Who are the stakeholders? I want you to think about that. Who are the stakeholders in that situation? Think about who they are. Don't just be general saying, oh, they're just people in the neighborhood. There's different stakeholders. Segment them, identify them. Think through this. Who are these people who are going to be affected? So here's some examples. Local shops who are going to be affected because less traffic is coming through because they're now shutting down the road to build the tram line. Local schools, because kids can't easily get to school now, they have to go another route because of the building of the tram line. Sports clubs, commuters, people who might use the trams. Local residents who are living in that area, they're the stakeholders. So my next question then is, how do you talk to them? What do you say to them? What's your attitude towards them when you're talking to them? What's your message to them? These are the sort of things you would need to think about and plan for if you were involved with this local government doing this. And my last question is, what could go wrong during this process? Things could go wrong. They generally do go wrong, which can affect the reputation of the company building the tram line and the local government that's supporting it. So if I could summarize this in a nutshell, community relations. It's about two things. It's about a company's interactions with the community and taking care of the community's needs. So when you're building this tram line, you need to understand that you need to interact with these different stakeholders, shop owners, school community, commuters, and take and show them that you are caring for their needs. It's also about developing a mutually beneficial relationship with them. Showing them that you are interested in helping them with their quality of life. I'll skip that. Oh, hey, get up. Let's have a stretch. I was going to show you this. That's an old song. All right. It's a good way to transition, to move from the next to the next topic. I was looking at the time thinking, boy, we need to stretch. All right, so because we're getting to the end of the course, one more topic I want to cover now, and that is, how do you measure communication? Because the boss will be looking at you saying, okay, you've been communicating for a while, now tell me, is it working? So if you were the CSR communications manager for that tram line organization, the boss would be saying, okay, you've been communicating with shop owners and school parents and commuters, and is it working? And so my question is, how do you plan to measure the success of your communication plan? I've got a ruler, a measurement there, because more and more we need to be very specific with measuring, otherwise we're wasting our money. Second question is, how will you be monitoring and listening to your target stakeholders? So how do you know that the shop owners are going to be supportive of this tram line because you communicated with them? That involves listening to them. I will say one more thing about community relations, which will help you understand communication measurement. In Australia, community relations mostly was about holding events in the local community. And if you were setting up a new tram line in the community, you would invite all these stakeholders to this, not just one, but a series of events, where it might be in a community hall, a school hall, a public area where they can come and feel comfortable, and they can ask questions about this tram line and say, hey, when's it going to finish? When's it going to be built? When is when's it going to end? Because my problems will be over when it ends. They'll be asking lots of difficult questions, and the boss needs to be there to answer those questions. So it might be in a hall like this, and a local government representative, a politician, the head of the company building it would all be here, facing questions from people in the community. So there's, I say that because I'll come back to why I said that. So the next question is, why is communication measurement important? Two things. One, to determine if your campaign was successful, obviously. Secondly, to improve your communication in the future. If you're in the business of communicating CSR, if you're in the business of corporate communication, we always want to learn because we're never perfect with the way we communicate. And so we learn from measuring. So we test the communication to learn to make ourselves better. So measurement can really be about two things. One, it can be researching before you communicate. So before the tram line is built, before it's still being planned, research needs to happen, communication research, into who are the stakeholders. This is before it all happens. You need to look at who are the stakeholders, who's going to be affected, what are their concerns. Do your research. And then that will help you better communicate with them when you actually do start building the tram line. But it's also about research during and afterwards. Measurement, we tend to think of afterwards. But research, which is a bit different but similar, can be done before. So two things, research before the communication and then during and after as well. So you do the research during and after communication to measure communication effectiveness. Now you'll remember a few weeks ago when I talked about strategic communication plans. One of the first things in a communication plan is objectives. And I said objectives need to be very specific. And the reason for that is if it's specific, then you can measure better. So an example, if your goal is to get support for this tram line in the local community, that's your goal, then your objective would be, could be this. Now notice this is specific. To get 2/3 of attendance. So I was telling you about my example in Australia. In community relations, we have these public events where we invite people to come and talk about what we're going to build. And we say, hey, ask us questions. We'll try and solve your questions and answer your questions about building this tram line. If you have any problems, help tell us. Well, one way to measure that is through measuring how many people came to that event, to that public event. What sort of questions were asked? So the objective was to get two-thirds of, so if you have a room of 90 seats and you get, and your goal is then to get 60 people in that room, that's being specific. And so you can say to your boss, this is just one example of many, but you could say to your boss, well, we thought we would get 60 people out of 90, and we did. Thumbs up. That's just a very basic measurement, but I'll tell you more. Second thing might be to gain positive news media publicity of the tram line in two local newspapers, two radio news programs, two TV news programs. That might be an objective, and it should be an objective, because the news media like these sorts of stories about new tram lines. Often they're negative, because shop owners don't like them and so on. But your goal, your objective is to get positive stories. And you can measure that by simply getting the news reports and showing your boss saying, hey, we got two newspaper stories that were positive. Another third objective might be to get 80% positive reactions to Facebook posts. You can measure whether they're positive or negative. You can measure the number of posts. You can measure the quality of the posts, the sentiments, the emotions. You can measure all that. There are programs that help you measure that. That's measuring communication. Number four could be to gain 80% positive reactions to the organization's tweets. You can measure that and say to your boss, hey, look, we achieved our objective, or we did better than we planned. So some other basic ways to measure communication. Community relations, we talked about that. So at public information events, you can look at attendance, as I said. You can look at the types of questions asked. What sort of questions did they ask? Therefore, were we successful in answering those questions? What sort of comments were made by people? We could do a questionnaire, pass it around for those who came. We can do an online survey of all the stakeholders involved in that tram line being built. And that would help us measure whether we were communicating our message well or not. We could look at the social media posts about the tram lines. That's community relations. That's an example of measuring in community relations. In CSR communication, I gave you an example, I think, of some CSR reports by Tesla and so on. So you can measure that. How many people downloaded these PDFs, these reports? How many of them were distributed? Often they are printed as well. And so how many were printed and distributed? With CSR communication, you could also look at social media posts. How many people are talking about Tesla's CSR actions? How many people are actually getting the message right and understanding what the message of Tesla is? So you can use content analysis to measure, to look at the content, and is it positive, negative? Are they getting the message or not? Are the themes are what you want to be? And so on. Shareholder meetings. So CSR communication, often there's meetings involved. Private events, public events. You bring people and you say, this is what we're doing this year with CSR. We're doing good in the local community. We're lessening the carbon emissions. We're lessening that to this percent. We want to tell everyone, so we bring them into a meeting and we say, this is what we're doing in this company. So you can measure that by seeing how many people attended, what sort of questions were asked, and so on. A question, it might be a questionnaire or a survey of some sort. That's measuring communication in CSR communication. News media reports. It's easy to measure news media reports, so you can, through content analysis, look at all the news media reports over 6 months about the company's CSR efforts and see if they're positive or negative. An old way of measuring was what we call this advertising value equivalence, where if it's the Helsinki and Sanomat and there's a front page story about a company's CSR activity, the old way of measuring it according to this advertising value equivalence was to look at the size of that story on the front page. How much would it have cost the company to pay for an advertisement to be put there? If it was €10,000, then you got €10,000 worth of free publicity on the front page that day. That is one way, an old way of measuring news media reports, whether you are successful or not. So I've coloured in blue the word message. In communication, there is always a message. It's no use getting a story in the front page of a newspaper if they don't present your company message. So how do you measure message? Questionnaires at events, you ask people questions so that you can gauge or understand, did they get the message or not? Content analysis of social media posts and online chats. So these are some examples, some basic examples of how to measure communication. So you remember, I think it was a few weeks ago I talked about this campaign I ran in Australia. The objective is here, two of them. We had lots of them, but there were two. To get 50,000 new supporters by the end of this campaign, to raise $500,000 in 5 months. The results show us that we were successful. We measured it. All right, that's the end of this lesson, and before I finish, there's a few other things, but every lecture I try and present a slide showing you what are the important things that you need to know. And these here are what I've covered today. These are things you need to know for the exam. I think I've covered all of those things. This is in the slide in Moodle, so you don't have to write that down if you don't want to. So that's the slide for key things to know for the exam. Now, I want you to do this quiz in Kahoot. Please get out your phones. So I think you just need to go to, what did I have here? So go to Kahoot. Kahoot. All your names are going up on the screen. Hopefully there's no overload. There's so many of you. Let's see if this works. We're getting close to 100. That's it, huh? Oh no, one more, 105. Someone deleted. Okay, let's get started. You need more time? Okay. Five questions. What does CSR stand for? Pick one of those. Seven. I think that's everyone. No more. Most of you got it right. 24 did not get it right. Well, no, and 26. Wow. 26 picked the green one. That was the easy one. So start thinking a bit better. Next one. Alu. Who's Alu? Aha! Well done. Now we all have to beat Alu. Next one. What does triple bottom line refer to? Yes, you're getting better. Well done. Next one. Who's the smiley face there? We bumped Alu off the list. All right, next. Which of the following responsibilities is not part of Carol's CSR pyramid? Remember all the layers? One of them was not there. This will test you. Aha! I think that was a tricky one. Oh, Mr. CSR is up the top. All right. We're getting there. Number four. What does corporate citizenship mean? Oh, that's better. 78 got it right. Well done. Aino. Hey. See, all the winners get recognized. Okay, the last one. Which is the best example of community relations? Community relations. Finally, someone got it right, huh? Okay. I must admit, I put this together. So you can blame me. Who wants to argue that the government communicates healthy eating advice to all citizens? You can. Are you okay that that's not community relations? It's close. But it's not really local community relations. It's country community. It's the whole country. Unfortunately. So the result? Oh, K8. Who's K8? Ah. Kate. Of course. Well done, Kate. And then who's the beer one? And Henna. Where's Henna? I can't see any hand. Oh, over there. Well done. Yeah, never give up. Okay, don't go just yet. Let me just say this. is an event that's coming up. Can I have your attention, please, before you go? The last session of this course is this. The last session, 28 October. We've got some guest speakers coming. I think I've talked to you about this before, but I want to promote it again. Because one or two of the exam questions will be based on this session. We have the Dean of Copenhagen Business School coming to talk to you about what does corporate communication look like in Asia, especially Southeast Asia. It's very unique there, and he'll tell some stories about it there. We have Harry coming from Tekker, one of the biggest, best, most awarded corporate communication companies in Finland, coming. He'll talk about corporate communication in Finland, but especially he'll talk about a crisis that happened in Finland, a company crisis, and how his company managed that crisis. You would have all heard of that crisis happening, and so he'll tell that story behind the scenes. How did his company manage that crisis? And then we have other speakers coming. So that's coming up the last session. You are welcome to give me your opinion and reflect. In Moodle now, there is a feedback section there. Tell me two things. One, what did you learn? The most important things you learned today. And secondly, do you have any questions? Anything not sure about? Please tell me that. And then next week we have Salla coming from, she's a reporter with Ulle, who's coming to talk about news media relations. And that will be the second last session. Thank you. See you next week.